This is the last Thursday in February, and we're coming to the last week of this particular series on wise speaking. And one of the factors of the Ennobling Eightfold Path that the Buddha outlined to freedom and happiness. So we've discussed and practice with speaking truthfully, speaking kindly, and speaking with meaning. And tonight we'll explore beneficial and harmonious speaking. So there's an ancient kind of poetic saying that says, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And so we could say in 21st century poetic kind of speaking that that speech is the amplifier to the heart mind, or of the heart mind. Because rarely do we feel that we know someone unless we have some kind of speech communication with them. We're just really used to that form. That's not strictly necessary, and of course we've also looked at and practiced with other kinds of speech, body language, and the nonverbal ways that we communicate. We looked at that. But we know, looking a little deeper also, that speaking, we have this sense of amplification when we look into our own inner speech, which is our thoughts. And we get to know ourselves better by looking at that. So harmonious speaking is a thread throughout all the Buddha's discourses on speaking. But what might be beneficial speaking? Can we know what's beneficial? And here's where discernment comes in. That's another word that's used quite a bit in the Buddhist teachings and the Buddhist discourses. And as I've been emphasizing throughout this course, intention and reflection are key words to any form of wise speaking. And they're the first steps. And then we can bring discernment in, clear comprehension and clear knowing. And that's an attribute of mindfulness. So I'd like to review mindfulness again for a moment, because I think sometimes we kind of have a vague sense of what mindfulness is, but it's very precisely and concisely outlined in the Buddhist teachings. So it's composed of two main elements, bare attention, and that's the flowing moment-by-moment concentration that goes on just knowing simply without judgment, without pushing anything away or holding on to anything. That kind of aspect of mindfulness flows and it unfolds in the present moment. And clear comprehension, sampajjana, that's another part of mindfulness, and that's knowing what we're doing as we're doing it. So that's discernment, is another word for that. And also knowing whether our actions are suitable. And that particularly fits in with this theme of harmonious and beneficial speaking. It's the active aspect, which of course speech is an active form of being human. So there's an interesting discourse in which the topics of beneficial conversation is in the Anguttara Nikaya. It's a collection of the Buddhist discourses. And so the Buddha outlines some of the beneficial topics of speaking. So he says, speaking on or with about the benefits of modesty. We touched on that a little bit last week, modesty and the Zen precepts of right speech or wise speech in Zen, speaking modestly and extolling others. So finding the good in others. And so actively, that requires a kind of an active discernment to tune into the good and to also know that for ourselves in the moment of the situation that arises. Then the Metta Sutta has a really fine phrase for this. The wise are not puffed up. So that's kind of modesty. So being not aggrandizing ourselves, not talking about how great we are, and that can go on, of course, in a lot of subtle levels. We don't have to be bragging about it like sports figures often do. I mean, we can just, you know, it doesn't usually play out like that in our lives, because we're not, whatever. Just, I've noticed that there happens to be quite a bit of that in sports figures. So it's also another aspect of modesty. It is recognizing that what we say to others and what we hold in our own minds are simply just our views and opinions. And we have a choice about how much we hang on to those. And so it's not like we own them. We can own them if it's important. So of course, speaking modestly doesn't mean that you can't stand up for yourself, or you can't point out when things are wrong and incorrect. So speaking of contentment is another one of these topics in this Buddhist discourse that the Buddha talked about. How contentment kind of neutralizes greed and consumerism and even spiritual achievement. And this once again, this can be, it's not like we have to give a Dharma talk on this, but we speak to people like I'm trying to unpack some of the real gifts that the Buddha gave us in the discourses and in these practices that we can follow. But when we speak with others, speaking with contentment, I mean, sometimes, for example, I just had this happen recently, as a matter of fact, a friend was talking about what they wanted to get, you know, and so it's often like getting the next version of the iPad or whatever it might be like that. But it's, you know, and if we have discernment, if we have our mindfulness with us, then it just will come up. You can say something like, kind of teasingly, well, how much do you really want that? You know, or how much do you really need that? And that's just a small example, but there are ways about just being content or not just jumping on the bandwagon, even sometimes withholding speech, not saying, oh, I want that one too. I mean, and maybe you do want it, but you don't have to. There's kind of cycles that go on with speaking that brings up certain kind of energy. So it's, I find it interesting that these topics that the Buddha brings up as beneficial speech, often we can feel the energy of this in our bodies, and that's how we know whether we're relating to the speech we're hearing or that we're sharing with others, that whether it is modest or contented or skillful or not skillful. So another one we talked about is persistence. So it's beneficial to speak of persistence. And that can be in the form of, and I'm sure we've all had this happen too, of just encouraging people to stay with something that's hard, or encouraging ourselves in our own lives to stay with something that's hard for us to do, but that we know is a good thing for us to do. So in general, persistence also means in the age of our kind of speaking, especially since the forms of communication are rapidly proliferating, as we've noticed, you know, there are all kinds of speech there all the time. Should we want to tune in? You know, there's more speech than any one of us could possibly listen to, and it's going all around the world at every moment. But persistence is a way that we can keep away from distraction, keep from being pulled into that. You know, we can just stay with where we are and what we're doing. We can rest with whatever that is without being having to flip on the radio every time we get into the car, for example. Persistence is also a place that we can look at habits. And then the Buddha talked about virtue is another kind of beneficial speech. So that I think we can feel, maybe it's easiest to feel in our inner speech, like just feeling the ease of when we are content, when we're moderate in our desires, when we are reaching out to others, when we feel compassion for others, we can recognize that as a virtue and speak of it to ourselves. And of course we can encourage in anyone else's virtue too that we see and that we think the occasion is appropriate to do so. I mean, that's really where in all of these discernment is a key piece, and that's where mindfulness is the foundational practice. And then Buddha talked about speaking of discernment itself. So, and discernment, I guess another way to say that for me, the way that I understand it, is that it's just a recognition of our innate ability to know what's wise and skillful and appropriate. That's what discernment is. We all have that. And getting to know our mindfulness is allowing us to tune into that more and more. That's really what the practice is, to tune into what's there. It's like tuning out some radio stations and tuning into others, turning out some kinds of speech and tuning into the others that's there. So, I mean, there are many, many which more aspects of speaking that the Buddha went into, but I just would like to highlight one more before we begin some practice again. And that's beneficial speaking that the Buddha, when he gave advice to his son Rahula in the Majjhima Nikaya. And another part of discernment, if you will. But it's actually a practice that helps us, that he tells his son. He said, okay, here are these practices. He says, whenever you want to speak, you should reflect on it before speaking. Like this. And this is what he said. This verbal act I want to perform, would it be a skillful verbal action with happy consequences, happy results, or would it be an unskillful verbal action that causes affliction to others or myself with painful consequences? So that's maybe a little wordy to say all at once, but I think, you know, that the idea is we get it. We get what, you know, reflection itself, just the practice of reflection. And he says, and then he goes on, I mean, he really parses it out. If on reflection, you know, it's skillful, then any verbal act, then that verbal act is fit for you to do. And if on reflection, you know that it's unskillful, then any verbal act of that sort is absolutely unfit. He really makes a point of telling his kid that this is what you should really do. If, and what is he saying all this in the service of? It's in the service of freedom and happiness, freedom from suffering, freedom from pain to ourselves and pain to others. What I really like about this particular section is that the Buddha makes explicit and recognizes that the power of words is that they're actions. And we know words are very powerful and they can't be taken back. Once they're out there, they're out there. So he recognizes that. Speaking is doing as much as any other physical action. It is a physical action, of course. But just making the sounds, if they didn't carry the meaning with them that we talked about last week, then they wouldn't have this power to have painful consequences or harm ourselves or others. So the Buddha advocates also reflecting while speaking, and I think this is so worth doing, because as you become used to this practice, and many of us, I think, because we're sort of at a certain age, we've had experience in life where we know that we can reflect while we're speaking, and we can turn things around. We can just stop saying what we're saying if we know that it's going to be. We will get. There's the native understanding, the natural mindfulness arises, and we know that, oops, I really don't want to say this. At this time, it's not appropriate. And we just say, and have said, I'm sure all of us, well, I just don't want to say that, never mind, forget it, it's not important, or however we put it. But, or when we get really good at the practice, then we can actually divert it so that it goes in a different direction entirely, instead of stopping at it. But that's reflecting while speaking. And then he also points out reflecting after speaking, especially after any speech act, we could do that. And that's a very interesting practice to do. Just do it for the next time you know, like a discrete period of time when you know you're going to have an interaction with a person, or with a work group, or with whatever it is. Just reflect after you speak. What am I getting? What am I getting from the other people? That were the consequences of that? What do I feel in myself? It's a very interesting practice. He points out here the power of share, and then he talks about that we could even share this if we wanted to, or just reflect on it ourselves, but we also could share it. And in that way, he points out the power of speaking to another about our unskillful actions, the power of kind of purifying, cleansing ourselves in that way. And that does have, that's, I think, the basis of originally of confessions and practices like that, because, you know, that it wouldn't be like a confession when we share with a friend, oh, and I'm sure we've all done this too, I said something that I shouldn't have to this person or that person, and that somehow purifies us and cleanses us. That has a great power too. But just reflecting on it for ourselves, well, maybe we can find ways to make amends, or maybe we can just strengthen our intention to be more mindful of our speech. So he concludes in this when he's after he's talking to Rahul about reflections on speaking, that this way increases our mindfulness and sensitizes our awareness of skillful qualities and broadens and deepens our ability to be happy and glad. So that's very encouraging, I find. So before we go into doing some practice, I'd like to mention again deep listening as a part of speaking beneficially and harmoniously. It's a part of any kind of speaking that we do, but especially these ennobling, skillful kinds of speech. So deep listening is with your whole being, with your whole presence, your heart, mind, your body, your energy, you're really there for that person, really listening to them. And you can tune into this too. You can feel the aliveness and the ease that brings, the openness that it brings when you practice this kind of listening deeply to another person. So a review of insight dialogue, which will be our practice tonight, and that's Greg Kramer's work of bringing the practice to actually speaking. And he has these key phrases that he helps us to recall to the moment and to relationship, actually. So it's mindfulness in relationship. It's really about mindfulness, this practice, but we're doing it through speech, And his foundational phrases are pause, relax, open, or pro. And that's all you need to remember. So the pause is just a pause, literal, bringing mindful, bringing intention, mindful awareness before speaking and also before listening. And the pause can be very brief, and you can do this in conversation with anyone, but we'll practice it in group tonight so you get a little sense of it. And the same if you're listening. You can pause anytime you're listening if you get distracted or you find you're somewhere else. You can just pause and return. And relax is actually a softening of the heart and the mind. So that's also can be very energetic and literal, or it can be an intention to do so. Just say that, hold that as an intention, and then see what happens if something does shift energetically. That's also true for listening. And then finally, open is an expression of the heart mind to include more in awareness, in mindfulness. So again, this can be through an intention or through a feeling of actually kind of opening your awareness to, in this case tonight, with just one other partner, just to the person that you're speaking with. So holding that space and not getting distracted by the other conversations that are going on. So all these work together, and you don't have to analyze or focus on any particular one, or just recalling pro, or just a feeling, oh, listening, or whatever phrases work for you. These are pretty handy, but. So, so this is new to most people, to many people here, and it will take some time. And just keep with it the best you can if it speaks to you as a practice. So in a general guideline for the dialogue and the listening is that it isn't about affirmation or repeating what your partner said, but really about speaking and listening as openly and mindfully as you can. So again, we have to do the organizational piece. So if you would just find a partner, someone close to you or someone different than you worked with before, or for some of you have been here for throughout the series. And once we get that piece done, then we'll... Well, that's okay. If there is an odd number, whoever feels like they don't have a partner, they can be a partner with me if they like to. Or they can refrain if they don't feel like speaking. Okay, so if you don't know each other, then you could introduce yourselves and say, or just say hi. You could greet each other if you do know each other. And because that's a kind of harmonious way of being with another person. And then I'll suggest a topic, and I'll time the exercise. And you'll each have 5 minutes to speak. And when it's time, and I will ring the bell, and when it's time for the other person to speak, then you want to thank your partner again and pause, relax, open. I'll ring the bell again. And so the first thing you want to do before we go do all that is say, who will be the first speaker? So have you chosen that, or you can choose that now? I see people pointing at each other. That's a good way, just pointing at you. All right, so maybe this is coming back into ourselves, pausing, relaxing, opening. And here's the practice tonight. So share some relationship or some arena, such as work, at dinner with family or friends, or other situation, where you could practice this kind of harmonious, beneficial speaking. And how would you go about making this a practice?
I'd like to be able to do all of this tomorrow. I've been tight in knots all week because I'm meeting with a dear friend tomorrow, and I have to tell her that I can no longer help her financially. And I just don't know how to do it. I might have opinions about what she might do, but she has to find how to deal with her situation without my help. I keep thinking maybe just saying the least would be the best. You know, just say, I'm very concerned about this, and I've been really struggling with it this week, and I think we both know that I can't help it anymore. And I just dread this meeting, and I know she's going to start crying, and she feels desperate. And I can come across as very, very blunt, you know. It's just one of my characteristics, and I want to be able to be gentle and compassionate and just suggest that she think out how she's going to arrange her life so she no longer is dependent on this help. So I can't sleep, I can't meditate. You know, I've just been tied in knots about it all week. And I think all I can do really is have an intention of freeing her from dependence, in a way. An intention to be clear about where I am going, wishing her the best, and encouraging her to rethink how she's going to manage, you know, without telling her what I think. So I think probably spare speech might be the best approach. She's going to be in shock. I don't know if we can have a conversation. I don't know how it's going to affect our friendship. I need to make it clear that I'm still her friend and supportive emotionally, but not financially. And I mean, if I ended up doing it skillfully, it would be a first. Because I'm just like a train on a track, usually, when I'm communicating. My friends know that, and they just take that into account. But this is very delicate, and I feel like it's calling on me to speak and behave in a way that isn't characteristic for me. But intention and mindfulness, I think, if I can just try to hang on to that, I'm hoping that it will be not too hurtful and beneficial in the long run. So,
take things the wrong way.
But it's bothersome that I haven't been able to meditate all week. Because as soon as I close my eyes, I start talking, you know, rehearsing in a way all my opinions, which may or may not be helpful other than just the spare fact that she needs to rethink how she's proceeding, you know. So, that's my deal.
So, if you could finish. Is making definite moves and plans and understands the situation on this way. And reluctant to ask for help, but has become dependent on help. But understands so that's different. Difference is that I guess I haven't been dwelling on it, and that is out of doing that as well. But I find it very poignant. A situation to be in, and how, and a very delicate one, she said, because it brings up in a way a part of the Buddhist path of compassion is to help others, and yet there's wise compassion, and so how, so that has been my struggle over a period of time with this person at first. Just finding my balance with what I feel is the wise place and compassionate place for both of us, so that we will be prepared from here. I think one thing for me, and it's certainly is to share my own vulnerability of how much this is, does affect me. And it's it is a different situation, but even that is not always clear, because sometimes I feel like that's in a way the most beneficial way to somehow say we're all in the same boat together, but that may not be received by the other person. So I guess for me too, part of sharing my vulnerability, I have to discern. It is a situational thing, more of a situation. Be very sensitive to that, be grounded in myself, and just speak from a calm place. So pausing, relaxing, and opening is really helpful to bring me back. And just to know how, what agitation I have going on inside me at that moment when I start to speak. So it was in fact a good time to, a good way if I start thinking, oh, this is the way I'm going to bring it up, if that's a good way to do it, because sometimes in my situation and in yours, there are times when you have to just deal with things at certain times. You know, can't just say, oh, I'll wait until next week. So that's what I try to do. And I guess what the final part for my answer is just having great compassion for myself, that I might not speak in the best way, but I will know that I have that intention to do the best I could. And so that's sometimes difficult. Settled in and feel comfortable again. And we usually end the evening and save some time for sharing the practice, and that's completely optional. So if those who would like to speak, you don't have to, but we'll also try to make this wider container of pausing, relaxing, and opening when we're all together, so with everyone. So is there anyone who would like to share something? Yes.
After I spoke, I felt embarrassed that I shared the story. But then I realized that during speaking, what was coming to me was what you were saying in the situation I was describing about you staying in the center and being more discerning about how your actions are going to affect people in the situation that I'm in. Because I've had a tendency in this group of people, it's quite a big 130 families, it's very open, and it's a silent rule to not pull back into yourself, that you're supposed to be open. So I kind of learned through talking that seeing what I'm doing is coming back into myself more instead of going outside, being open and friendly with too many people, and thinking about how much, what to do, and how it's going to end up in the end. For me, how I'm going to feel, and how it's going to affect them.
Yeah, you said it beautifully. It's a balance. What you said so well is it's a balance of, it's an exchange, it's a balance, and it's what we're sharing with other people, but you can get carried away one way or the other. We all know some people monopolize the conversation and others withdraw or don't talk on without saying anything, and others never say anything. So it's a balance. Thank you. Yes. Okay.
I would just say it's so lovely to just listen and then to just be listened to. And as it's happening, like there are just little micro moments where it's aware of, oh, it's so different to just listen and to just be listened to. It's like such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great tuning in. That's kind of tuning into the energy and the relaxation, the restfulness when we just listen. And when we are just heard, it's very relaxing, actually. Thank you for bringing that out.
Thank you for the exercise, by the way. I find the exercise themselves very revealing, because I don't really take time out in life to really kind of share or be reflective, you might say, of what I feel about certain elements in my life. But anyway, that comment I want to make, which was such a great distinction, is that I've done theater in the past, and speech for me then was wonderful. And it wasn't until I got the first word out on stage that I knew I was home. I was there. And the importance of speech. But off stage, and we were in a dressing room, and people kind of file in and say whatever they want to say to you about your performance, about the show, whatever. I was just stumbled around. I couldn't get my words out. I was just kind of... And then I really liked being up on stage. I really liked it because I had my script. I had something to say. I could put a lot of stuff into it. But I found out that when I didn't have that script in my hand, I was at a loss. I didn't know what was going on. But it only led me to knowing that I need to take more time out and reflect on things that are relevant and important to me. The speech is a very, very important one. So, again, thank you very much for the exercise and setting up, and thank you for being here also.
Thank you, Danny. Sometimes that's why we declare a bit. We like to have other people's words too. Other people's words often touch us more deeply, like in theater or when we have, or in poetry, or why we have quotations and things. And I certainly always like to bring those in. And I would like to end tonight. It's about time to end, a couple of minutes. So I would like to say something from one of the great 20th century Zen teachers who came to America, Patagiri Roshi. And these are quotations of his, but they struck me so aligned with a harmonious and beneficial speaking tonight. So Patagiri Roshi says, "We must be magnanimous, tolerant, compassionate, and open-hearted. The Buddha view, the universe view, is that the whole world is given to everyone equally. Our center must be dynamic. It works. It acts. We call this dynamic centeredness mindfulness." So to end with, I want to thank you all so much for your attention, and those who have come back for your persistence and your willingness to keep up the practice. And I'd like to end tonight with a dedication for all the practice we do together and we've done together. And we hope we'll be able to do together in the future. So this is a form of metta practice. May the benefits of our practice widen into the world. And may we carry the intention to meet all beings harmoniously, to speak truthfully, kindly, and to the benefit of all beings. May we act with ease, with happiness, with generosity toward all and toward ourselves. And may all beings, everywhere, none left behind, be at peace and be free from suffering.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.